Welcome to another episode of Mazel Tov Cocktail, a Jewish left podcast from the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, Melbourne. It's conversations with me, Max Kaiser, and interesting people in Australia and internationally. We have a great show for you today. This episode is a little different to normal. I talked to a couple of Jewish lefties, Yehuda and Ali, about their Jewish left group in the process of formation in Sydney. We talk about the actions they've done so far, opposing Netanyahu's Sydney visit and holding a Passover Seder at Villawood Detention Centre. We talk about their political outlook, overseas influences, politics and religion, and plans for the future. Enjoy, and I'll be back with a quick shout out at the end of the interview. So, we're joined by Ali and Yehuda from Sydney, some Jewish lefties from Sydney. So, thanks very much for coming on the program, guys.
Hi. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, would you be able to just introduce yourselves a little bit to get us started?
I'm Ali. I'm a Jewish anarchist and a third-generation settler colonist in Palestine and a first-generation immigrant to Australia.
I'm Yehuda. I'm a ex-Chabad Jewish lefty. I guess at this point I'm slightly enamored with the concept of anarchism, but I mean broad leftism generally. And then I have done a bit of thesis work on Jewish diasporism and the suppression of dissent within that. I never finished, but I did a lot of research. So I guess I'm interested in that.
So, yeah, so the main reason why I was interested to talk to you guys was you did a Passover Seder ceremony service at Villawood Detention Centre recently.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get into talking a bit about that, the reasons why you did that. And but yeah, first I wanted to hear about how you guys sort of came together. You're sort of a group in formation in Sydney of Jewish lefties.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how you came together and what sort of the things you've been organizing together.
Well, I guess we kind of came together over social media. One of our members, Chaim, put a post up on the Australian Lefty Jews Facebook group asking if there were other people in Sydney who wanted to organise. And he kind of brought us all together for a picket outside the Great Synagogue in Bondi when Bibi was giving his speech there. So that was our first action that we did. And it has kind of an interesting response. I was not expecting that much outrage from people about the fact that we were Jews and we were protesting against a Jewish leader.
What were some of the responses that you got from the community?
Well, there was one guy who started yelling at us about, and I'm quoting here, Aborigines, and what about the Aborigines? And, you know, he's completely right. I think it's hypocritical to criticize colonialism in Palestine and not here in Australia. But I also don't think that he was speaking in good faith. I don't think that he's genuinely concerned about Indigenous sovereignty here. We had another woman come up to us because one of the signs said, stop Israeli apartheid. So this woman came up to us and started yelling that we had no respect for black people. And she wasn't black. But she was very outraged that we were comparing Israel to South Africa. But then we also had this Israeli woman walk past and say to us, you know, I can't believe that he's here. I thought that pigs weren't allowed in synagogues.
Wow, that's a good line.
I never.
I think he has a lot more support from Australian Jews than from Israeli Jews.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, wow.
So what did you see the importance of having that, like, Jewish protest against Netanyahu being? What was the importance of it for you?
I think for me, it's kind of a double thing. On the one hand, it's about standing up for Palestinians and standing up to Zionist leaders who try to make out that anyone who supports Palestinian freedom is just an anti-Semite. But at the same time, I think it's also about standing up to anti-Semites who, like Zionists, tend to conflate being Jewish with being a Zionist and supporting Israel. So it was also about making a statement that we don't all support this apartheid state on the other side of the world. We are actually politically pluralistic as a people.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I was working in the day, but to me, a protest against BB also signals to the Australian leaders that they have the legitimacy to challenge Zionism without being mistaken for anti-Semites, and that there is a voice within the Jewish community that doesn't blindly follow the the policies of the Israeli state.
So what and there's been other things that you guys have been involved in organizing as well. Is there sort of like a tell us a bit about maybe the political perspective that you're coming from, and also if these sort of if there's influences from overseas Jewish groups as well that you're taking on?
I think a lot of people in the group are inspired by the work that If Not Now are doing in the States. And so part of the purpose of this group that we're trying to form is to challenge support for the occupation within the Jewish community. I also take a lot of inspiration from Judas in the UK. I think they've done some really amazing work and have been quite effective at working around local issues like refugee rights and fighting fascists at the same time as also supporting Palestinian liberation.
Yeah, great. Yeah, you were also organizing stuff not just around Israel-Palestine, but coming together around this campaign at, to free Saeed, who's a pseudonym of an asylum seeker who's that the government are trying to deport back to Iraq. And you had a Passover Seder at the Villawood Detention Centre. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was a very ad hoc Seder. We kind of just organised it all on the day. But it ended up coinciding of when, so there's been protesters camped out outside Villawood ever since Saeed was transferred there from Victoria. And I said it coincided with a strategy meeting that people were having about what to do next with a campaign. So that was nice. We had a lot of guests and we had some good talks with them. And, you know, like to me, for stuff around protecting refugees from state violence seems really relevant to Jews because it's not that long ago that we were the undesirable refugees and migrants that Australia was trying to keep out. I mean, this was our grandparents' time. And you can just see the parallels between the sort of the tropes of Islamophobia in Australia today that are being used to justify keeping out refugees and the tropes of anti-Semitism that were being used back then to keep out Jewish refugees.
Yeah. So is that sort of a, yeah, is it that sort of perspective that you want to take into further organizing? So sort of bringing together the ideas of combating anti-Semitism and linking that to combating Islamophobia or vice versa. But then also talking about that in the having that perspective come into how you organize around Israel-Palestine as well.
Yeah, I think so. I think you can't talk about refugee rights without, as a Jew and as somebody who grew up with the politics that centered around Israel and Palestine, you can't talk about refugee rights without acknowledging the fact that Israel has created refugees. So even if we end up focusing more on refugee rights than Palestine as our sort of course of action, I think that we'll always come back to a support for Palestinian sovereignty and an end to occupation.
Mm. Do you think, I mean, you already mentioned that there's was a few little hostile remarks at your protest against Netanyahu. Do you think that forming a group with that sort of perspective is going to be controversial within the Jewish community? Or are you sort of hoping that there's it creates some controversy, but then out of that people might know about your, you know, find out more about what you're doing, and that there's already a bunch of people who are disillusioned or alienated from the Jewish community that might be more interested in participating in what you guys organize?
So I think we intend to provoke controversy. I don't know. Does that sound right?
Well, I don't intend to provoke controversy, but I'm not going to censor myself in order to avoid it either. I think, you know, new ideas are often controversial when people first hear them, but eventually mm-hmm. they will get used to the idea that you can be a Jew and not be a Zionist. And I do think there are a lot of Jewish people who are just so completely alienated from the Jewish community because of the politics of mainstream Jewish organizations that there's just no space for them to be Jews. You know, like, I have not been to synagogue or any kind of Jewish community event since I moved to Australia because I just don't feel like I have any common ground with Jewish institutions here. So I think there's also a space for a different kind of Jewish community.
And we were also talking a bit before about sort of how the Holocaust is talked about and referenced in Jewish communities, and how that's sort of seen as, well, there's a lot of pushback sometimes to talking about that history with reference to contemporary events or like the oppression or persecution of other peoples. What's your perspective on that?
I think there is a tendency among the Jewish community to act like our pain and our trauma is, you know, the worst thing to ever happen to anyone in the world, and nobody can compare anything else that's happened to the Holocaust because it's somehow diminishing what we've been through. And I think that is the wrong lesson to take from it. You know, I like to try and live my life according to Hillel's maxim that if we aren't for ourselves, then who is? But if we're only for ourselves, then what are we? What's the point of us? Like, the lesson of the Holocaust should be to protect everyone against persecution, against racism, against state violence. It shouldn't be we have suffered the most and we are the only victims who deserve sympathy and everyone else can get fucked.
Yeah. We encountered some resistance when a photograph that we shared in a wider Jewish political group referenced the Villawood Detention Center as being a concentration camp, which by its definition, it is, but they felt as though we were offending the history of the Holocaust through calling it that. So instead of being outraged at the authorities for the fact that they are once again putting people in concentration camps that were reliving the state terror of that violence on people for no justified reason, they're angry at activists for invoking that history.
Yeah, it seems quite perverse, doesn't it?
It is. It's just. Yeah, I think that there's a power in the sort of the speech around that history, which is selectively used only for Jewish groups and only for really Zionist groups. There's a complete negation of the fact that there were anti-Zionist Jewish groups that fought in the Warsaw Ghetto or any other resistance movement, and we only talk about them in a sort of in a Zionist framework as a foundation for, I don't know, the creation of the Jewish, I don't know, Israeli state. It's just like, if not now, it can't even apply to gay people. That nobody I haven't, on my own Facebook wall, I haven't seen any Jewish people sort of stating any sympathy for the fact that there are now concentration camps for gay people in Chechnya, which is such a close recreation of what took place in the 40s.
Yeah, it's true. And there is also isn't any kind of awareness of like, hey, if it's happening to gays now, maybe it's going to happen to heterosexual Jews next, you know?
Yeah. I said this to my mum today and she says, well, I said the Jewish community should support gay rights because, and not just against oppression, but just generally because of the fact that they went through something alongside us. It shouldn't be a difficult thing for the Jewish community to support. But she says, well, homosexuality is against the Torah. And I was like, but, you know, like, so is Zionism. Anyway, and then that was my interpretation.
Yeah, I think that brings up an interesting issue, which is, and yeah, we talked about having the Passover Seder at Villawood. Is there, what is, if we're sort of trying to formulate like a Jewish leftist politics, is part, what's the engagement with sort of the religious side of Judaism? And is it about reinterpreting some of those traditions in new ways? Is it about reinventing them completely? Or is it about inventing sort of a completely secular way of being Jewish? Or what are your perspectives on that?
Well, I'm an atheist and I had a completely secular upbringing, so I'm the wrong person to ask about Jewish religious concepts, but maybe you have some opinions.
Well, I don't know what the group's policy is on it. I'm also atheist, although I grew up in a religious environment. And my belief is that there is cultural capital in the Jewish faith, but it's very selectively applied. It's specifically with regard to Passover, with regard to Sukkot, that they are festivals that commemorate transience and liberation and an escape from oppression, but yet we haven't adapted them to contemporary issues. There were other issues which have been incorporated into the Passover narrative. I mean, we talk about, we talk about Babylonian oppression. We talk about all sorts of other things, but there's this codification that takes place where we just stop interacting with it in a complex way, and instead it just becomes a rote practice. I don't know if that's right.
No, I definitely have the same experiences where sometimes there's sort of a little bit of lip service paid to various social justice issues, but it's very hard to sort of have a completely to make those rituals or religious practices to give them new, completely new meanings, or to reinvent them so they do seem like completely meaningful and appropriate to how we live our lives now and what our concerns are now in terms of how we view our Jewishness and how we view taking that into the broader world and trying to change the world.
So would you say that we take a leaf out of the liberation theology book? I mean, you brought out a Haggadah, a resistance Haggadah. Do we have that here? Ali brought a resistance Haggadah to our Seder night, and I actually never got the chance to look at it.
I think I saw that on the in the photos.
Yeah, so we could have a brief look through it. Oh, let's see. So it's got the four children here.
This is the Haggadah published by the International Jewish Anti-Zionist Network.
Okay.
I think it's from 2 years ago, maybe. Yeah, I mean,
I guess that
there's definitely, you know, like Jewish traditions are open to interpretation and they always have been. Like I grew up with a particularly Zionist interpretation of Jewish traditions because I grew up in Israel. So all these holidays have sort of been recuperated into this nationalist narrative Even holidays like Lagba Omer that, you know, wouldn't have been, you know, were very minor festivals in the past. And I do have a lot of friends who hate celebrating Chanukah or Lagba Omer because they very much associate it with Zionism and nationalism. But I think there's room for interpretation there. Like, they're both stories about people resisting a foreign occupation. You know, they're basically anti-colonial narratives about, you know, guerrilla warfare. And they're also great stories. I mean, Lagba Omer, you have Bar Kokhba with the signal fires coordinating an uprising. And with Chanukah, you have the Maccabim living in a cave, eating nothing but carob. So I reckon you can pick and choose which bits of a story you want to focus on and what you think the significance is. That's what people have always done. It's not something that we've invented as leftists.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah, that's really interesting. I think the other thing I maybe wanted to talk about is, yeah, you mentioned the Zionist sort of narrative, and we were also talking about if not now in the States, and that being a sort of a model. Are there differing ideas about Zionism within your group? Because I know that If Not Now sort of have taken a kind of like agnostic approach, where they say, you know, well, these are sort of our main principles. We're against the occupation. We're, you know, in solidarity with Black Lives Matter and that sort of politics. But when it comes to, you know, they're not a clear anti-Zionist group. Is that something that's been that you guys have sort of talked about, or is it sort of a little bit not so important to what you're organizing?
I think we have some different perspectives. I mean, personally, I'm an anti-Zionist. There's other people in the group who are non-Zionist or who I think maybe align more closely with cultural Zionism rather than political Zionism. Hypothetically, I think someone who was a Zionist could join the group if they agreed with like the general principle of opposing the occupation and wanting equality for Palestinians. I mean, maybe this is one of the things that we have to hash out, is I think oppose the occupation is sort of a nebulous term because some people say that and they mean the West Bank and Gaza, and other people say that and they mean all of historical Palestine. And personally, I'm against colonization of all of Palestine historically. That doesn't mean I think that all Israeli Jews should have to leave the place, but I do want some kind of pluralistic democracy instead of a apartheid theocracy.
Yeah. We discussed this the other night because there was an issue with the presence of Netzer kids at our...
which is a Zionist youth group.
Yeah, they're a national Zionist youth movement. And one of the people in a antagonistic group at the rally who won't go into them, but they were of the belief that we couldn't stand there for refugees and also sort of state our Zionist affiliations. And I think Sahayim began with Habonim Dror, and so I think that there's this assumption that as long as we're committed to leftism and non-dogmatic explorations of the issue, we're okay with people being generally generally I don't know, left, I think. Does that sound
I think there's always this interesting thing that people bring up, which I don't know if it's 100% true, but just in terms of there not being a very like sort of the same sorts of politics not really being possible in Australia versus the United States, and that one of the reasons being that people always say Australia, or well, they say Melbourne, but I think maybe Sydney as well, that in terms of diaspora Jewish communities, that we're sort of, you know, the most Zionist across the world, or definitely up there, and that there's sort of like a there's such a close connection between being a Jewish and Zionist that people need to be sort of more respectful of that. Now, I'm kind of dubious of that argument a little bit, but I think that there's definitely differences in how sort of connected Jews are to Zionism in Australia, maybe compared to other Jewish communities elsewhere. What do you guys think?
In my research, I found that was very strongly connected to the large numbers of South African and Russian Jews immigrating to Sydney. Or is that that's maybe a contentious issue to discuss? Because I don't know. But
yeah.
And sort of the period in which the American Jews have a long-standing attachment to ideas of liberty, which I don't think all Australian Jews have brought with them. Some of the American Jews have been there long before Zionist ideologies came to the mainstream.
Mm.
But yeah.
I think it's interesting that, you know, people say Australia and South Africa have the most pro-Israel Jewish communities. And I guess that's not surprising because both Australia and South Africa are very similar to Israel in terms of being settler colonies that have this history of apartheid. So I think that is part of it. And that's why I think our group needs to be more than just an anti-occupation of Palestine group, because I think a lot of the support for Israel in Australia comes from colonial solidarity, that it's in the interest of a settler colonial state to support another settler colonial state. So if we're fighting for Indigenous sovereignty here and to undermine the colonial regime, in the end that also weakens Israel because it weakens one of Israel's most important allies.
Yeah. You look at the Australian labour movement that continues to have ties with Israel, and the amount of Australian politicians who have spent time on trips in Israel, I think that we might have, there's probably yet to be any studies on this, but I think that we might have the highest concentration of politicians who have gone to Israel in parliament out of any state in the world. Maybe I'm wrong. It just seems
it's entirely possible. And there is definitely a very strong link with sections of the Labour Party and Israel, though maybe it's changing a little bit the last few years. Cool. Well, I think we've covered a lot of good ground. Is there stuff that we wanted to anything else that you guys wanted to touch on before we end the interview?
I'm not sure. I think Ali.
No, not at the moment. I mean, like we said, we're a very new group. We're still developing our ideas. So we're going through a process, and I don't know how much we have to say at the moment.
Yeah. We might be interested in aligning with groups in Melbourne.
Yeah. Well, we should definitely talk about that. Well, I'll stop the recording, and then we can do a little bit more of networking. But but it's been great to have you guys on Mazatov Cocktail, and I'm really interested in sort of continuing to develop or continuing to discuss these ideas about how to be sort of an effective Jewish left in Australia, and how we can take inspiration and lessons and talk about situations overseas, but also what's which parts are relevant, which parts need to be sort of reinvented in our own contexts. So thanks very much for coming on, and we definitely hope to talk to you more down the track when your group is sort of more developed. So thanks very much again, Ali and Yehuda.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks again to Yehuda and Ali for that great interview. My shout out for today is to the Jewish Antifa Berlin Manifesto. It's a good tie-in if you listen to our last episode with Leandros Fischer, as it addresses the place of Palestine in German politics, particularly critiquing sections of the left and their attitudes to Zionism and to Jews more generally. It's a cracker of a read. It's been a while since I've read a good manifesto, I've got to tell you. So definitely check it out. It's available in English, German, Hebrew, and now Arabic. So I'll put a link up in the show notes. So that's it for the time being. Thanks very much for listening. Music in this episode came from the Eastern Watershed Klezmer Quartet.